Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director for the League of Education Voters. I'm sitting down with Teachers of the Year, both current and past, brought together by the Center for Strengthening the Teaching Profession. I'm with Camille Jones, the 2017 North Central ESD 171 Regional Teacher of the Year with the Quincy School District and Pioneer Elementary, and she's the 2017 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Camille, congratulations, first of all. How would you describe your teaching philosophy?
Thank you. My teaching philosophy comes from my community. So I'm from Quincy, which is a farming town. I grew up there. My dad grows vegetables. My husband now grows fruit. So I say I grow futures. I really want to make sure that my students have a relevant education that prepares them with the thinking skills that they need for the things we don't even know that are going to be around in the 10 to 12 years when they graduate, because I teach kindergarten to third graders.
What would you say of all the things that you've done, because you've done some really cool things, so what would you say is your greatest accomplishment in the classroom?
This year, I've been working with my district, and I actually led a district-wide training for all of our teachers to try to be more aware of the different things that are holding some of our students back. I teach advanced and highly capable programs as part of my job, and I want to really make sure that every student in my school has equal access to those programs. There's a lot of kids that, for whatever reason, may not show up in their assessments that they have as much potential as I know them to have from other experiences that I've had with them and that their teachers have. And so I'm working on my master's degree from Whitworth right now in gifted education, and this summer I took a class called Giftedness for ELL Students. But really, it was for all students that are culturally, linguistically, and economically diverse. I learned a lot about the research behind different methods and strategies that we can use to help identify those students and develop their talent and support them from an early age so they're prepared when they get to high school and college for those advanced opportunities that come along. So we've been implementing those, and we're already seeing a lot of important good progress.
Was it hard to get buy-in from the parents?
No, I think parents are really excited for us to give their kids these opportunities. I was worried that it might be hard to get buy-in from some teachers just because it could seem like something else they have to track, but our whole district has been really supportive and on board, and parents, you know, I had parents in tears when I came and talked to them about their child who is an extremely struggling reader but has this amazing capability as an engineer, and we brought into our advanced program, and now his reading scores have gone through the roof already in like the 6 months since this has happened for him. And so we're making real change, and parents are really thankful.
Would you say that there's a mindset issue that a lot of folks don't necessarily believe that particular kids can learn, and that's where you step in and say, you know, this kid has got amazing talent right here, and imagine what could happen if we could somehow develop that?
I haven't seen it to be a mindset issue in my experience. I think that the teachers that I know and work with believe that their kids have these amazing abilities. We have a really big school culture around grit, and we've read as a school the Growth Mindset book from Carol Dweck. We have those as foundational values in our school. But I don't know that they've always known that they had permission to use those other resources and types of evidence outside of the hard data of assessments to identify students and feel strong and confident that those are legitimate. That's what we're changing, is the perception there.
Well, and that brings me to my third question, which is, if you were in charge of the education system in Washington State, you know, if you were like the education czar, what would you do? How would you spend the money?
Well, I would definitely say I wish there was a person like me in every school. I have the unique ability to look at every single student, all 450 students in my school, from the lens of what's their strength, what is their gift, and I get to try to help develop those and support teachers as they develop those. I wish that every student in the state of Washington had that opportunity.
Camille, how has your life changed since you've been named Teacher of the Year for 2017?
My favorite analogy to use is that I got strapped to a rocket ship. I feel like I had this very ground level perspective before. You know, I went to work every day. I got online to research different resources and materials that were out there, curriculum that I could use for different things. But mostly I just worked for my students and had this vision of how to improve the culture in my community and my classroom. But now I feel like all of a sudden I've shot straight past, you know, understanding the concept of the district level work, past our region, up to the state level, and I'm starting to think of things on a national level. So it's been great for me to gain a better perspective of the bigger picture in education.
Camille Jones is the 2017 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Camille, congratulations again, and thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm now with Sherry Condit, the 2015 ESD 112 Regional Teacher of the Year with the Woodland School District. Sherry, what is your greatest accomplishment in the classroom?
I'd say my greatest accomplishment in the classroom isn't something that happens only once, it's something that happens every single day. So I have the pleasure of teaching AP American Government and Politics, which right now might feel like a minefield. However, one of the things that happens in my classroom is that my students ask questions. They're excellent at inquiry, and so instead of getting bogged down in perspective or potentially how one candidate feels about an issue versus another, we ask questions and we focus on, is the media accurate in their reporting? Where is the data? How can we back up these claims? And instead of digging in on how they feel about something, we say, what information do we need to know to be able to make a judgment? So that's something that happens every single day in my classroom. And that accomplishment to me is ensuring that my students are going to become engaged, intelligent decision makers who will be active citizens.
Awesome. Sherry, thanks so much for taking a minute.
Thank you.
I'm now with Kendra Yamamoto, the 2017 ESD 112 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Vancouver School District in Martin Luther King Elementary. Kendra, if you were in charge of how education money is spent in Washington State, what would you do?
Without hesitation, I would put that money into early learning services. I think right now as a state, we are looking at the school system as a K-12 system, and we need to rethink that. It needs to be a birth through 12th grade system. So my belief is that every child becomes a student at birth. So with that money, I would put in high quality programs, and not just for those kids, but for families as well. So currently in Vancouver, we joined forces with our local ESD, and we are running Grow and Learn programs where families bring in their babies. So we're talking newborns to age 5, and we're educating, we're reading, we're doing activities, we're providing snacks, and just generally giving them information and a welcoming environment. Other than that, we also have a preschool program. We do have ECAP as well as private preschool within the region, of course, as all do. So a preschool program we started 8 years ago, which I currently run, and I want to push for more high quality preschools across the state. And I think it's something that's needed, and I think we need to pay those teachers a certificated salary and bring our high quality kindergarten teachers down to teach those preschool programs so it's available to all. Because I continually hear we're offering preschool to all children, but we're not. There is a gap of families that do not qualify for ECAP services or cannot provide money for private preschool. And I think that it's a payoff that we all know will in the end pay off with our graduation rates, with our reduction in the prison rates. But it's something that we need to stop having that conversation about how we're going to find the money, and we just need to find it and fund it now.
Thank you so much, Kendra.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm here now with Elizabeth Loftus, the 2017 Northwest ESD 189 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Oak Harbor School District at Olympic View Elementary. Elizabeth, what is your teaching philosophy?
I really think my teaching philosophy is worrying about the whole child before I worry about everything else. And I got to recently participate in a WaTeach Lead chat talking about children with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and talking about trauma-informed teaching. And I made a point that, you know, if my kids come to me tired or hungry or cold, I'm going to let them have a nap, and I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to give them something warm to wear before I'm going to worry about teaching them reading that day. Because I feel like making sure that all of those basic needs are met is so important, and it helps them feel happier and safer and more willing to learn with me. And I really do that on a daily basis, and I have a wonderful team around me that encourages that. I have a brand new paraprofessional who is already getting coats and shoes and clothes for kids in need, and so it's really an enriching care-based community in my classroom. And then the other part of it is, you know, these kids that I teach have emotional and behavioral disabilities, and so they tend to come from really chaotic backgrounds and home lives, and so I try to make it fun. I teach with silly accents, and we do a lot of movement and games and a lot of social emotional learning, and I think taking it from that perspective really helps develop much needed critical skills for them. So academics might be a struggle, but they have coping skills and tools in their repertoire that are going to help them get through all those difficult moments. And I've had just a wonderful experience doing it. I really think my philosophy comes down to making sure I'm worried about the whole child and not just the academic part of the child. It's a bigger job.
What's your favorite silly accent?
I do a British accent. That's really, really great. The BFG by Roald Dahl is a great book we read a couple years ago. And then we got a paraprofessional who's from England. And when she came into the classroom, Miss Loftus, she sounds just like when you read the BFG, because BFG has this like big friendly giant that's very like Cockney accent. So I would do that all the time, and that's like their their connection. Like, is she pretending that she's in the BFG? But I love to do it, and then the kids do it back, or I have a Southern accent that's pretty good, I think. We try to have a lot of fun and a lot of humor in order to cope. Because the kids come from stressful places, and I want it to be a happy, engaging classroom when they come to school.
Well, you're doing amazing work. Elizabeth, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
I'm now with John Gallagher, the 2017 Olympic ESD 114 Regional Teacher of the Year from the Port Angeles School District, Port Angeles High School. John, what is your teaching philosophy?
I believe in a focus on your future is the slogan that I use with my kids. And what we do is right in their freshman year of high school, we let them know that this is the beginning of their future. We talk about their plans after leaving high school, whether it is career or college or the military, and we start focusing on it right then. We try to give them an image of that by bringing students in who have successfully completed high school and gone on to college or other careers. They come in and I put them up in front of the students so that they can talk to people who have had successful futures. And we also take them once a month to places like the University of Washington or into Seattle Town Hall. And they go to lectures, they listen to scientists, they get to meet some of those scientists, and at each of those we're joined by past graduates from our high school who are now either employed locally in Seattle or who attend the university. And so again, we're making those connections to their future.
Is it ever helpful for someone like me as a parent, I've got a 7-year-old, to ask a kid, what do you want to do after you graduate? Is that a better way to frame it?
I think that's a great way to go for it. You can have that conversation and the student can think, wow, I'm going to graduate. I remember I pulled out the freshmen once and just took them down to the auditorium where we graduate from, and I put them in their seats that they would be in 4 years from now. So you can do that with middle schoolers. We take our seniors and we take them down to the middle school and they walk down the halls in their caps and gowns so the middle schoolers start thinking about it. Go back to your elementary. That would be a great way to do it. They will graduate eventually and start thinking about it now.
And if you were in charge of the education system here in Washington State, how would you spend the education dollars here?
Well, another passion of mine is equal opportunity education. I think the students in poor rural districts need to have the same opportunities as those in the more wealthy districts. Small towns, big towns, urban, rural, they all need to have the same opportunities. So I would start at trying to equalize the funding for the small districts and get them the things that they need so that they have equal schools. My students come from a school where but we don't have money to build a new school, and that's the thing. And they go and play basketball against other schools, and they see all these brand new buildings and all these brand new science labs. So why can't we have that equal opportunity for all students in all parts of the state?
John, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
I'm now with Lynn Olmos, the 2012 Regional Teacher of the Year from ESD 113, Mossy Rock School District at Mossy Rock Junior High and High School. Lynn, what would you say is your greatest achievement in the classroom?
There's a lot of students to look back on. I can tell you that one of the most recent ones that I'm very proud of is a young man who had a communication disability who came into seventh grade at a second grade reading level. I had him in seventh grade, eighth grade, and ninth grade. And working with his family, which also had a few educators in it, I will say that, I was part of the piece of the puzzle that got him to graduate as a salutatorian. And he was one of my top English students by freshman year.
Wow.
He's now at Whitworth College. He's a basketball star, but he really wants to be a scientist. And as an ELA teacher, of course, you know, I could be more proud, I suppose, if he was more into English. But no, he's brilliant. And I got to be part of that story, a little part, because he's the big part. But he's just one. He makes me proud.
What would you say is your teaching philosophy?
Overall, it is that it takes a variety of things to inspire a student. I'm a big lover of the arts. I teach theater, but I use a lot of visual art in my teaching. When the visual arts program in our school went away due to funding and hiring issues and things like that, it really brought to the forefront my wish that kids got the ability to be creative and expressive every day in school. And so if they weren't going to have it in a visual arts class, they got to have it in my classes instead. And so I infuse every bit of my artsy ideas into it, to the point where I've got even the kids who are very reluctant artists are using what they can. I mean, there's a variety of things you can do. They're using their creativity in their own way, their way of doing art. And oh my gosh, my life as a teacher has become much more enjoyable through that.
Well, I can only imagine what an artist would do if the artist were in charge of our Washington State's educational system. If you could spend the money, the billions of dollars in our system, any way you wanted to, how would you spend it?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would look at how underserved rural populations are. We're a very small town, and we don't have the resources for our kids to have the same kind of programs that they have in the larger schools. No matter the postal code, I guess you could say, if it's not a big place, they often don't have things. And, you know, our kids have to make choices. Like, you can only be in band or drama, and you don't get to do any visual arts. So what's wrong with that system, right? We need to figure out how to create, and maybe money would do it, artistic centers. That's just one way of doing it, along with maybe more STEM as well, where the access to unusual, exciting programs is made more universal. Yeah, maybe that takes more technology. Maybe that takes more staff. But that's where I would put the money. So every kid in the state of Washington got to do things in a way that really excited their learning process.
I like it. Lynn, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
I'm now with Lyon Terry, the 2015 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Lyon, what would you say is the greatest accomplishment you've had in the classroom?
It's hard to think about one moment that's your greatest moment, but I like to think about it in terms of a collective moment and little things that happen in the course of my day. And just the other day, I was on the playground and there were four boys who were arguing about their football game. And I helped them work out their problem so they could have a fun recess time. I got to thinking about it, I'm like, that's kind of like a huge part of my job is helping with those social emotional skills, right? How do they solve their social problems on the playground? And ultimately in life, right? Like they're gonna encounter issues in their lives all the time when they have disagreements with people. And I'm thinking that was such a little microcosm of what we do every day as teachers. And when I help kids successfully solve social and emotional issues, I feel like that's my best work.
And as someone who's really tapped into SEL and the way that the soft sciences, as it were, can have such a tremendous impact on people, if you were in charge of our education system here in Washington State, how would you spend the money?
Well, I can tie it back to my classroom. Just the other day, I had a girl who showed up in the classroom and she was clear. I greet kids every morning. They look me in the eye and they have to shake my hand and say, good morning, Mr. Terry. And she could hardly do that because she was so upset. Mm. Something clearly had been disruptive for her morning. I didn't know what it was. It was very difficult for me to piece that out. But I had 27 other kids in my classroom. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could say, you need to go talk to the counselor right now. But in my building, we only have a counselor halftime. We don't have a counselor in the morning who can help a kid who's struggling in the morning, just to kind of get her things out and to move on with her day. Because, you know, after I spent 5 minutes talking with her while everyone else was creating chaos in my classroom, right, like then she was better, right? And then we were good. And in my school, we don't have the funds for extra people. When I send a kid who has lost a tooth or has Band-Aid issue, you know, I'd put on Band-Aids because we don't have nurses, right? We need people to support teachers and to support kids. Most importantly, because that's what matters, right, is supporting those kids. So we need to get these other people in the building who are going to be able to support kids. We shouldn't have rules about, like, when you can have an assistant principal or a counselor or a family support worker or a nurse or a PE teacher or an art teacher or a music teacher. Schools should have these things. That's what we need in our schools, and that's where I would spend the money, along with increasing salaries for teachers so it becomes an enticing profession and it becomes a profession that people want to stay in and thrive in and feel successful in. We need more people in every building, and we need to especially increase the salary for those teachers who are new to our profession and make it enticing and a great place for them to be.
How has being 2015 Teacher of the Year changed your life?
I'd like to say that I got to meet some amazing people, right? Like I got to meet Bill Gates, I got to meet Barack Obama, I got to meet the governor of our state and speak in front of the Senate, but those are not the changes, right? The changes for me are meeting all of the amazing teachers that I've met around the country and in our state. I've had this opportunity to meet inspiring people who make incredible differences for kids in our state and around the country every single day. I just keep reflecting on how the teaching profession is such a life-changing profession for the people of our country, right? And that we make the difference for so many kids. We're saving lives. I really look at it like that out there we are keeping kids off the streets and we are giving them the skills to be successful citizens in our society. And boy, when I meet these teachers who are doing that successfully, it's inspiring for me.
Well, I'm inspired just meeting you. Lyon Terry is the 2015 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Lyon, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Good luck.